Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio podcast.
Riley Beveridge, thanks for your time.
G'day, Kane. G'day, Jono. How are you, boys?
Good, Riley. Take us through the Jack Ginnivan bombshell, Riley, and where exactly it sits.
Well, it's been bubbling away for a few days now. So I know a lot of people said that it was a 0% chance of happening, but I think it's always been on. It's always been bubbling away in the background. So Jack Ginnivan, obviously, when Lachie Schultz came into the club, I think there was a bit of discussion around where his place fit in that Collingwood forward setup. So Hawthorn's always had interest in him throughout the trade period, and it looks like he's going to get there today. So we reported last night on AFL.com.au that a future second-round pick's likely to form the basis of any trade, and I think that's just about where it is. I think there's probably an understanding from both clubs that given he's contracted, given he's a premiership player, a future second-round pick looks likely. So there might be some shuffling around of picks here or there between the two clubs, but I think that'll be the basis of any trade today.
And it's a big day, Riley, for the Port Adelaide footy club. They've got to get some deals done.
Yeah, they certainly do. So obviously we know they're after two key defenders and two rucks, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. So Cal Toomey last night on AFL.com.au reporting that progress has been made on the Asafa Radigalia chase. Obviously Port put forward pick 25, what seems like a lifetime ago now, really. Yes. It was only a week ago. But I think that ultimately will form the key part of the deal, and then maybe some other stuff going here or there. But it looks like progress is going to get made on that. And then once that happens, then it becomes easier to turn their attentions to a deal for Brendan Zerk-Thatcher. I'm not sure just yet if it's going to be a straight swap for Xavier Duursma, who looks like he's going to get to Essendon. There might be a few more things thrown in there. And then the two rucks, Ivan Soldo and Jordan Sweet. And I wonder, Richmond are going to make it hard for them, given that Soldo's contracted, given that doesn't leave the Tigers with much time if they do want to replace him with some ruck depth. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they happen. I reckon Port gets three over the line, and I reckon they're a chance at the fourth being Ivan Soldo.
And the other Port Adelaide player that was, I just read an article, and it's more around a rookie deal, but Orazio Fantasia, is that completely done? Is he going? Has there been any decision on him as well from a Port perspective?
No, there hasn't been any decision there just yet, I don't think. So obviously he met with the Giants a couple of weeks ago, Adam Kingsley, their coach, and Jason McCartney, their football boss and their list manager, did a medical at the Giants as well. So the Giants do have interest in him as a rookie, but I think that'll get decided probably after the draft periods.
So you don't think there's a risk that Essendon and Geelong lose players through the draft, Riley? You think they'll actually be sorted today through trades?
I think that's everyone's preference. And when that's everyone's preference, generally a deal is worked out. And we always see this. There's haggling throughout the 10 to 12 days before the trade period finally closes. But I think everything ultimately gets done. So I reckon a deal's eventually worked out for Brendan Zerk-Thatcher. And I reckon a deal's eventually worked out for Asafa Radigalia at some point today.
I was surprised that Harrison Petty decided to play golf with Darcy Fogarty, who plays for Adelaide, who are keen to get him, and that the cameras were just conveniently there. And that he alluded to the fact, respectfully, that he's pretty keen to get home, and that it was Melbourne's decision to deny the trade request. Is there life left in this trade? I know it was 100% with Tim Lamb, and Justin Reid wasn't going to give up. I think he spoke to you as well, Riley. But is there somewhat of a pulse, a faint one?
No. No pulse.
None.
This one is completely done, I reckon.
All right.
I don't know what went on yesterday with the golf course or what conversations were had, but this just isn't happening. And I think the fact that Adelaide eventually accepted the future two for Shane McAdam yesterday, it was probably the best sign that we needed in terms of that they were moving on from Harrison Petty, because I think the McAdam deal would have, I mean, if Petty was ever going to leave, and I think it was a slim, if 0% chance of that the whole way through the trade period, but I think if he was ever going to leave, we would have been caught up in that deal. So I think that was resignation yesterday from Adelaide. Okay. The Harrison Petty wouldn't be going to the Crows.
Riley, let's head up. Go for it, Cornsy.
I was just going to say, speaking of pulses, faint pulse on Dylan Shiel or no pulse?
Faint, but I don't think it's 100% certainty to happen. But yeah, Cal Toomey reported yesterday that clubs still haven't given up hope, and it's still just bubbling away in the background. Not sure how big the bubbles are just yet, Kane, but it's still there, still alive. So it's one to certainly watch throughout the day. I wouldn't say it's likely to happen, but it's one that's just there to watch.
Riley, let's head up to the Sunshine State, Gold Coast and the Brisbane Lions. A big day for Gold Coast in particular. Will Chole and Hollands end up at new homes, and Jack Gunston from the Brisbane Lions as well?
Yeah, in terms of Gold Coast, I think they definitely will. Those two players wind up at new homes. So Gold Coast have been haggling with Hawthorn around whether or not they include a future second or a future third as the basis of any trade. I think there might be a pick swap this year as well involved in that might see the Suns upgrade some points to get Troll to the Hawks. Obviously, they need their points for their academy players. And then in terms of Hollands, I'm told that's a certainty to happen at some stage today. I think that future third that Carlton received from Essendon in a deal for Paddy Dow yesterday will form the basis of that. And again, there might be a few pick swaps to upgrade some points for the Suns this year. I think maybe pick 26 from Carlton might slide down a couple of spots, so the Suns just get a few more points on the board to match those academy players. As for the Lions, they've got a really interesting day because Jack Gunston's obviously requested a trade to Hawthorn. I don't think that's as certain as the other ones that the Hawks are trying to do. The Hawks are trying to get up to six deals done today. So I think that'll be a lower priority. The other one to watch there is Brandon Ryan. So Brandon Ryan was initially caught up in discussions around Jack Gunston. He's a mid-season pickup at the Hawks. He's only contracted for next season. The Lions have got a three-year deal on the table for him. He met with the club earlier this week. I think that might happen independently now. Brisbane's put forward a future second-round pick for Brandon Ryan. I think that might be on the go. So if that's on the go, it might help Hawthorn. They've then got two future second-round picks. It might help them facilitate moves for Chole and Ginnivan. So that's another one to watch there. But as for Gunston, I think Hawthorn have just been keen to assess its hand at the end of the trade period before deciding what they can then give up for Gunston.
Yeah, that's going to be a big day, especially that's not a bad deal for Ryan, who, like you said, 1 year at the Hawks or three up at the Brisbane Lions, are in a pretty good place at the moment with the way they play their footy. Jack Billings is the other one that interests me a little bit here, Riley, because it seems to have gone cold on Jack, who I still think has got something to offer in the AFL world, in particular at another club. Maybe someone like Fremantle, for example.
Well, yeah, I reckon I spoke to Kane about this last week on air, but I see Jack Billings as being the perfect sort of opportunistic signing for a club in the sense that he's got 2 years to run on that contract at St Kilda. The Saints have shown a willingness that they'd be prepared to pay some of that if he was to go somewhere else. He wouldn't cost you a big asking price. He's got the talent. He's had form and fitness issues in the past, but he hasn't necessarily been able to play his best footy in the last couple of years. But you take a punt on these guys when you're not paying their full salary, when you don't have to give a lot for them, and you never know what they could be if you find the right role for them. So I'm with you, John. I think Billings has got value at an AFL club. I'm not sure whether or not he'll find himself a new home today. I think it's a slim chance, but I don't think it's a big chance. So we'll wait and see on that one. But I think it's like Shield in the sense that he's a name on clubs' whiteboards, but just how big and how prominent he is on those whiteboards is still to be seen.
What would you want to pay if you were another club? Are you thinking maybe half of that deal or even less than that? Maybe you have to pay 40% and St Kilda still stump up 60%? Because if you are, then that's, like you said, that's a financial arrangement that would suit a club, because they're getting a player in for and having another club pay majority of his wage.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, and exactly, and this is what clubs look at all the time. They look at ways to sort of get a player in that probably they're not paying to their full potential or their full maximum value, and just see if they can do a job for him. So that's part of his appeal, I think, at clubs, and we'll see if a deal can get done today.
What's your intel tell you about West Coast? I know it's not going to happen today, but what move they will make and who is most likely to offer the deal that attracts the most interest for pick one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Kane. I think the fact that the clubs haven't necessarily been able to get higher up the order throughout this trade period probably leaves only two sides able to do it over the next 6 weeks. And they do have 6 weeks to do it because you can do it right up until draft night. But I reckon North's well and truly in the mix, but they'll have to include either pick two or pick three in any deal because I don't think the Eagles would want to go down further than that. They've obviously got that suite of selections later in the first round. They've got five picks inside 18. So they could offer a combination of them, but I think it would have to include two or three. And then the other side to watch is Melbourne. So they've got six, they've got 11, and they've got their future first-round pick. If they can bundle them up, I mean, if they can bundle up a couple to move higher up the order, I know there's a bit of talk around whether or not they could potentially move six in a future first to get into Hawthorn's pick four or North's pick three or something like that. So if they can move higher up, it leaves them with an even better hand to then go and target pick one. But, yeah, there won't be any movement on it today. I anticipate, because of the fact that no players are going to involve, going to be involved in this deal, if a trade for pick one does happen, I'd imagine it would be in the next 6 weeks, not today.
And before we let you go, what's the final day look like? Take us through the last couple of hours at AFL House and the atmosphere and how crazy it gets.
Well, it was hectic. It's always hectic. And it's great up post-COVID to have everyone back in the same place again. And last year was the first time they did that. It gets frantic. I think we all saw in the documentary last year that players and player managers and clubs are running down the hallways at Marvel Stadium. You've got to have your phone on 24/7, so I'll make sure mine's charged right up to 100% just before 5 p.m. because the amount of calls, I reckon I've already made hundreds of calls in the last fortnight, but the amount of calls you make in the last 2 hours probably exceeds that. So it's going to be a hectic and stressful day for these players and clubs, but hopefully everyone gets the outcome they want.
Of the 200 calls you make, Riley, how many of the clubs pick them up? All of them?
Strike rate's not high.
You don't want to miss it. AFL.com.au 5 till 8 from Marvel Stadium. Riley and Kay will be there with the rest of the crew, including yourself, Jono. Hey, great work over the last 2 and a bit weeks, mate, and there's a big day still to come. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, boys.